It's a blessing to be here and good to see you, each one of you out, and I'm so thankful you're here. I hope and pray that with this message I can be a blessing to you this morning as we continue to look at these examples that we find concerning faith. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 again this morning, and we're going to continue to notice how faith directs our decisions. You know, as we live for God, faith will direct what we choose to do and what we, I guess you say, will not choose to do. Now, saving faith is where the new life begins. And that's where it starts. Any relationship with God at all begins with salvation. Trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Repenting of your sins and believing on Him. That's where the new life begins. We find that throughout the Scriptures. But after salvation, that's what we're going to focus on this morning. After salvation, we must continue to live by faith. Now that was the charge or the challenge that Paul gave to the Hebrews, and we find that in Hebrews 10 verse 38, it says, "The just shall live by faith." Now that was the challenge to them. They were struggling with some trials, some difficulties. Some believed that they were being persecuted, and they were struggling to continue by faith. Now there's going to be times in our life that's going to happen. We're going to have some things come into our life that's going to shake our faith, or challenge us to live by faith. And so the challenge to the Hebrews was to live by faith. Now at times, you know, that's easier said than done. Some may say, "Pastor, that's easy to preach, but it's hard to apply." And I agree with you 100%. Sometimes it is difficult to live by faith. But you know, the Bible never indicates that living for God would be easy. The Bible never indicates that. It doesn't teach that. It doesn't even hint that the Christian would have an easy life. You know, I believe that's a myth of modern Christianity. There's a gentleman by the name of Thomas C. Reeves. He was a historian, a well-known professor at the University of Wisconsin. And he had this quote to say concerning Christianity in America or in modern times. He said this, Christianity in modern America is in large part innocuous. It tends to be easy, upbeat, convenient, and compatible. It does not require self-sacrifice, discipline, humility, an otherworldly outlook, a zeal for souls, a fear as well as a love for God. Now that was just his, I guess you say, understanding of modern Christianity. And I believe he's probably right. Now I'm not saying all Christianity is that way, but that's what we find in a lot of our Christianity today. There is no call to sacrifice. There is no challenge to be faithful when times become difficult. I was reading another gentleman who said the reason why he believes a lot of our young people are leaving the churches once they become young adults is because they get out of those youth departments and all of a sudden they realize that life is not fair and it's not all about entertainment and having fun. And then when they realize that, many of them never go back to church because they see it as being, you know, a hypocrisy, that they didn't get the real teaching in church. You know, this morning, Moses, I believe, understood the difficulty that comes with serving God. Now, that shouldn't discourage us, as we'll see, because God can give us power to live by faith. But Moses understood that life would not be easy when you walk with God and serve God. But I also believe he found satisfaction in God instead of living in the world. And so this morning, I want to talk about faith that produced a life for God. Faith that produced a life for God. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." It says, "For he had respect under the recompense of the reward." Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for allowing us to be here. And over the next few minutes, Lord, I ask that you'll just clear our thoughts, help us to focus on your word. I pray the Holy Spirit that you'll work in our hearts today and provide the spiritual teaching that is needed for each one of us. Please guide and direct in this message. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you three thoughts concerning a life or a faith that produced a life for God. And as we get into this, I want to challenge you with this thought as we get into this. You do realize the Bible provides everything we need to live a life that's pleasing unto God. Now, I'm not against good books. I enjoy reading books. I enjoy reading books on the Bible or on Christianity. But when it comes down to it, God has given us what we need in here. I want to encourage you to read the Bible, to know the Bible, to study the Bible, and then apply it to your life. You know, if we're not careful, we could know about the Bible, but not be in the Bible. And as we'll see, I'm going to give you three thoughts, verses 24, 25, and 26. Each has a thought. And I believe if believers or Christians will take these and apply them, then we can have a life that's pleasing unto God. And we can live by faith, even making some difficult decisions or facing some trials. The first thought I'll give to you is from verse 24. Moses had faith that refused the world. He refused the world. It tells us right there, verse 24, by faith Moses, when it was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now this decision came when he was a man. Acts chapter 7. Actually, let's turn over this so we see it. Acts chapter 7 and verse 22 and 23. This is Stephen preaching there before he went home to heaven. Acts chapter 7 verse 22 says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds." And in verse 23, "And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." So Moses made this decision really at the age of 40. Now that's a to me, that tells me he made a mature decision. It wasn't a rash decision. It wasn't a decision made with the zeal of youth. You know, sometimes young people, now I don't discourage young people from dreaming. I challenge them to dream. I believe they should have set high goals and go after those. But you know, I think sometimes with youth we can also overreach, and there's nothing wrong with that. But this morning I want you to notice that this was not one of those decisions. 40 years. Not only had he lived for 40 years, but as we'll see or talk about here in a few moments, he lived in Egypt in the palace there for 40 years. So this was not just some decision that he woke up one day and said, "I think I'm going to go and do this." I believe that it was a mature decision. The consequences were weighed, and he chose to follow God or chose to refuse the world. You know, true faith is not based upon impulse. You know, the world, I think, sometimes mocks Christians because they think that we just have a blind faith, that we just believe. No, true faith is not based upon impulse, but consideration of the facts of what God has shared with us. Now, this was a difficult decision. Think about Moses for a minute. Egypt and the palace was pretty much all he knew in life. The Bible tells us that his mother did train him and raise him. Many believe that she probably raised him until the age of 12, and then he probably lived completely under the direction of Pharaoh's daughter, probably there in the palace or nearby. So that's basically all that he knew. His education was from Egypt. We found out in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, that he was wise. He was learned in the way of the Egyptians. So his education was from Egypt. And I imagine all of his friends were Egyptians. Those that he went to school with, those that he grew up with were Egyptians. You know, some believe that he was in line to be the next Pharaoh. Maybe. I don't know for sure. Either way, I can tell you this. He was in line for a nice life. He was destined for a position of authority, a position of leadership, and all the benefits that come with that. So this was not an easy decision for Moses to make. When you think about it, his present situation was grand and his future was bright. Now, why would he choose to refuse this, to follow after God? You know, I think of other men in the Bible who also struggled with this. You know, the Bible gives us two men in the New Testament, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Both those men were leaders in Israel during the time of Christ. Both those men were believers. Both those men struggled until after Christ was crucified. That's when we find out that they really followed God. But up until then, they struggled to make that commitment. Now, they were saved, I believed, but they just struggled to make that commitment. I believe it's because wealthy and influential people have much to lose. You know, I don't criticize those in positions of leadership who trust in Christ and then struggle with this. I tell you what, personally, I have my own struggles and my own things to deal with. But you know, those that are wealthy and those that have influence, they have much to lose. They also have much to let go of. They have a lot in life that they're holding on to or that is in their possession. And because of this, do you realize they are tempted greatly due to the fact that they're able to pretty much do whatever they want? And so it's easy to hold on to that because it's tempting and pleasing. By faith, the Bible tells us that Moses refused this. He refused to be called the daughter of Pharaoh. In other words, he refused his rank and he refused his position there in Egypt. Now that's a big decision for this man to make. 40 years old, making this decision, knowing that he had a future there in Egypt, a nice future. And he chose to follow after God. Now, circumstances put him in the palace. What I mean by that, I know God worked, but circumstances put him in the palace. You know, we don't get to choose where we're born. And we don't get to choose our parents, but we do get to choose how we live for God. You see, circumstances put him in that palace, but faith. Faith led him to follow God. Faith led him to go to the wilderness after God and to follow the Lord's direction. You know, today I believe it has become common, and I read it all the time and I hear it all the time, it's become common to excuse our actions because of our past or because of our current situation. That's circumstances. People today excuse their actions because of what has happened to them in the past or what is happening right now. You realize the Bible teaches that faith overcomes circumstances. Faith overcomes our situation. You know, by faith, a man can be raised without a father. I've seen it. I've seen a man raised without a dad, not know a dad, raised by his mom. And by faith, I've seen that man become an excellent father. A man who loves his children and follows after God. You know what? By faith, he was able to overcome his circumstance. Also, by faith, I've seen individuals raised, or I can say be troublemakers when they were younger, trust in Christ, have a changed life, and by faith become strong servants of the Lord. I've seen that. Maybe I can fill in that for myself. I've also seen by faith individuals raised in a home without God. I know individuals that were raised in a home that were atheistic, that had no desire for God, and I've seen those individuals saved by faith, trust in Christ, and live for God and serve God. In a sense, that's Moses when you think about it. He was raised in the house of the Pharaoh's daughter. And the Bible tells us that he looked to God. You know, instead of wasting time complaining about our past or about our injustices, you know what we need to do? We need to look to God and live by faith. I believe Paul refers to that in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, where he says, I press forward, neglecting those things which are behind. You know, we can't change our past, but with God, we can be faithful to Him in the future. So I challenge you to live for God. You know, Moses refused his place in this world. He refused it because he looked to God and he wanted to follow God. Secondly, look at verse 25. It says there, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Secondly, Moses, by faith, rejected the pleasures of sin. Now, this is where a pastor begins to meddle, because we're going to talk about sin a little bit and the pleasures of sin. By faith, he rejected the pleasures of sin. You know, I think Moses knew the situation. I don't think he was just blinded and just made some decision and the next day say, whoa, these Jews are struggling. Why'd I, you know, choose to align myself with them? I believe he knew exactly what was going on. The Jews were oppressed. They were despised. And he himself witnessed the firsthand troubles that they endured with their harsh taskmasters. But you know, Moses' situation was different than Joseph's. You say, Joseph, where'd he come from? Think about this. Joseph lived in that same palace, or as far as the same nation. He lived in the same palace, you know, served in the same court. Bible tells us he remained there his entire life. But keep in mind, during that time of Joseph, the Jewish people were not slaves. They were favored, they were blessed, they were encouraged. Then Moses comes along. I believe it's 64 years after Joseph died, he comes along and things have changed. God's people were now oppressed and they were despised, looked down upon. And here Moses is living in this palace and he sees that. He witnesses that. Do you realize Moses made a decision based on what was occurring in his life? You know, if we're not careful, we can measure our life with someone else and say, well, you know, how come they don't have to make that decision? Well, I tell you what, it's between you and God. You need to make that decision that God has challenged you with. You see, Moses knew that the Israelites had no power and they lived in poverty. Now, we have a man who has power and has all the wealth that comes with that, and he makes a decision to go and not only align himself, but to join those that had nothing. I believe Moses knew God would bless those people. He trusted in God's promises, and so he was willing to associate with God's people. By faith, you know what he chose to do? He chose to endure the difficulties. He was not forced into this decision. Pharaoh had not chased him out of the palace. He didn't have to go and do this. It was by faith. It was a choice that he made to follow after God. You know, this morning I think of believers. Do you realize as believers, we live like that? You're here this morning by faith. You chose to come here to worship the Lord, to hear a message, to sing unto God, to fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a choice you made. You realize as we come together as a church, we all have different backgrounds. Looking around, I imagine we all have different professions. But when we come through those doors, we all serve the same Savior, the same God. That's what brings us I guess you say together, what we have in common. You know, I've been on vacation, stopped at gas stations to fill up the car with gas, began talking to individuals, you know, right next to me on the other side. Come to find out they're Christians. We began talking. Next thing you know, it's like we're talking about the Lord as if we've known each other for years, even though we've just met each other. You see, that's what we have in common. That's what a new life with Christ will bring. It brings it into a new family, and you have new relationship with believers. So today, believers will join a church and serve God by faith. Also, they'll associate with other believers, no matter what their profession is. They'll associate with other believers because they are saved now. They have a new life. Both of them do. I've seen and know of believers that will move into new areas. And what do? They go find a church. They want to go and serve God and associate with believers of like faith. That's what Moses did. It was by faith. He had to leave the palace. Now, his situation was a little bit more extreme. He had to leave that palace to associate with God's people. And that's what he did. He refused the pleasures of sin or rejected the pleasures of sin that were in this world. Now, I don't think this indicates that Moses was living in gross sin. I just don't think it indicates that. More than anything else, I think it indicates that he was willing to forsake those pleasures that the world had to offer in order to follow God. I believe that's what this indicates. You know, there is pleasure in sin. The Bible tells us there, right there, that it says there, as we've read in verse 25, he says, then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, I think we're doing our young people a great injustice when we try to convince them there's no pleasure in sin. You know why? Because when they go out and realize there's pleasure in sin, they may look back and say, guess what? The church was wrong. Pastor was wrong. My parents were wrong. You know, I think it's better to tell them there is pleasure in sin. Not to encourage that, but to tell them, guess what? The Bible teaches there's pleasure in sin. You know what that word pleasure means? It means excitement or amusement is what it means. It's also interesting to think on this. It refers nothing to enjoyment or peace or happiness. It's just being amused, being entertained. You know, there is pleasure in sin and in pleasing the flesh, and the world has plenty of that. Moses found that in his time. But the Bible also tells us it's only for a season. You know, that means the pleasures of sin will not last. They're short. They'll be gone. You'll be left discouraged. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. You know, often there are people who live lives filled with disappointment because they go from one sin to another. And when the pleasure of that sin is gone, you know, they find another one. They just keep going from one to another. It reminds me of going to an amusement park. You know, you've ever been to those amusement parks and have those big rides? I don't know if I'm more amazed by the fact people ride those rides. You wouldn't see me on any of those. I don't know if I'm more amazed by the fact that they ride them, or the fact that I've seen people stand in line for 1 hour just to ride a one-minute ride. That's how life is with the pleasures of sin. You think about it. People will enjoy sin, but then it's gone. The pleasure's gone, and so they're left having to pick up the pieces. Now, you think about that. I think that's something. We could probably put that title over every sin. How about adultery? There's pleasure there, but it's only for a season. How about alcohol? How about drugs? How about lying? How about gluttony? The list goes on and on and on of all the sins in the Bible. I believe we could probably put that title right over all of them. Pleasure for a season. That's it. You may be amused and you may be entertained for a moment, but eventually you're going to be left discouraged and in despair and having to pick up the pieces. You see, Moses recognized this. I do believe he recognized that the world was just temporary and that all those pleasures that he enjoyed at some point would be gone, and they had no real value to him. They were nice, he could enjoy them, but there was nothing lasting. You know, this world today is still filled with pleasures, and they attract our attention. Now, there are some pleasures, I do believe, that are off limits, according to God's Word. God's Word says there are some sins, some things in this world we should just avoid. Don't even go near those things. Those are sin. You'll find them in the Scriptures. But then there are also other, I guess they're pleasures of this world, but they're not necessarily listed as sin. But you know, if we're not careful, they can hinder our service to God. And that's what Moses may have found himself in, a situation like that. He may not have necessarily been living in the gross sins of the world, but the lifestyle he had prevented him from walking with God and serving God. Now that can happen. I'm just going to give you one example of this, of how we need to be careful. You realize there's nothing wrong with technology. It's a tool. Computers are tools. Phones are tools. The internet is a tool. I don't believe there's anything wrong with the internet. I believe there's a lot of good on the internet as far as information. There's also a lot of bad on the internet. Now, there are some things online that are just, I think, should be forbidden for any believer. You shouldn't even be messing with those things. There's also, here's the hindrance that I want to bring up. How many of you have ever been on the computer and you just planned on being on for maybe 10, 15 minutes? Next thing you know, 2 hours have passed. And you've been looking at all kinds of things. Nothing bad. You've just been going from one maybe sports site to another, one interesting article to another. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, if we're not careful, that can waste our time. And if we're not careful, that can take away prayer time, Bible study. I just want to challenge you as a pastor. I'm not telling you to go throw that out or not to get online. Just make sure that you understand the danger of hindrances, of how we can be hindered by these things in the world. And that's just one area. I mean, there are so many different things that if we're not careful as believers, they can just take up our time to the point where we're not reading our Bible, we're not praying, we're not serving God. So let's just be careful. Let's make sure we're taking time for God and we are controlling those things that are in our life. Now, Moses recognized, I believe in his situation, he recognized that the lifestyle he had was a problem. And Moses gave up that life to live for God. You know, I've read those stories, and you may have seen them on the news, those people that go undercover. I've read where some go and they live with the poor for a week just to see how it's like. And we commend them, rightly so. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes they put themselves in danger. You do realize that this choice Moses was making, it was total commitment. And he knew that. When he left the palace to go and align himself with God's people, it wasn't just for 1 week where he could return back home if he didn't like the way things didn't work out. He knew that this decision would change his life. This was commitment to God, and it was by faith he rejected those pleasures of sin. You know, what we find is that he continued to, or I guess he refused to continue in the world, and he basically denied himself and chose to follow God. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 16. Jesus Christ challenges believers, I think, in this way today. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to be reading verses 25 and 26. For those taking notes, Matthew 16 verse 25 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange," he says there, "for his own soul?" You think about this. It begins there, "Who will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." Basically, that's a challenge to commitment. Basically, is what that verse is. A challenge to live for God. And to commit to God and to serve the Lord. You think about this today, in our world today. That's the same challenge that we need. You know, Moses was willing to resign his will and say, "God, your will, not mine." He was willing to say, "God, I'll follow you, whatever direction you have." I think Moses realized that his life opposed God and basically God's people. Now, we're not all called to make the same sacrifice. This morning, I want you to know that this message is not given so that way you go home and you just move out of your house and no longer enjoy the blessings that God has given you. I don't believe this is there for that. We're not all called to make the same sacrifice, but you know what? I believe we should be willing to sacrifice if God does call upon us. That's what it amounts to. I mentioned Joseph before. Joseph wasn't called to make this same sacrifice. You do realize other men in the Bible were blessed with wealth and position. Daniel served in the Babylonian court. David and Solomon were both kings, and many believe they were wealthy. Abraham himself was wealthy. There's nothing wrong with wealth in this world. I don't think there's anything wrong with position that often comes with that. But we must always put God first. If God's blessed you with a career or a job that has put you in a position of leadership, then praise God and serve Him first. Remember, He's the one that blessed you. Be grateful. Be thankful that He has exalted you and blessed you with that. Also, be willing to use all that you have for God's glory, whether it's your material possessions or the position God's blessed you with. Be willing to be a blessing to others with where God has placed you. And be prepared. If God would call upon you, be prepared to refuse it if God would choose to lead you in that direction. You know, for Moses, this was not an irrational decision. I don't believe it was. It was faith in God. You know, his situation, he looked out and he saw God's people being oppressed, slaves. And here he is in that castle, in that palace. He couldn't stay there any longer. He couldn't live under the same roof as that Pharaoh who was just cruel to his people. So the Bible tells us that he made that decision and refused the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, he understood, I think, that what the world had to offer was temporary, but that God had eternal value. So he trusted God. Finally, real quick, in verse 26, it says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." It says, "For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Finally, I want to give you a thought. This is the final thought here, is that his faith respected the reward. respect of the reward. What I mean by that is Moses examined the situation. At first glance, I'll tell you, first glance, it seems obvious. Stay in the palace, keep the wealth, keep the position, you can serve God from there. At first glance, it seems like that would be the obvious choice. But to Moses, it was not that simple. You know what we find is he looked beyond the moment and beyond his personal desires. He understood the reproach, you know, basically the being despised and the hardships that would come with serving God would be worth the reward. Now, this examination that he took may have taken time. Remember, he was 40 years old when he made this decision. Bible tells us that his mother did have a hand in raising him. I imagine she taught him the ways of God, like a good mother would. I imagine she taught him about the Messiah that was to come and how God loved him. And then Moses goes on to live in the palace, whether it was at the age of 10, 11, or 12. And then for the next 20, 30 years, he's raised and given all the benefits that the world has to offer, all the blessings. And I imagine as he lived, those teachings remained. You know, this is just a side note, but parents, never underestimate the value you have to your children. Never believe that what you're teaching them is just going in one ear out the other. Now, sometimes it might, but teach them the ways of God. And years down the road, they may recall those teachings that they had, and they may serve God, and it may be what influences them to follow the Lord. Anyway, Moses made a decision later in life, and the Bible says he chose the reproaches of Christ. In other words, he would be willing to suffer all of the hardships and the difficulties that would come for serving God, for looking for Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You know, Moses' life of ease and comfort would be gone, filled with trials. And he willingly picked up this burden and said, that's fine. Now that's faith. That is faith. To willingly say, God, I'll take those trials if that's what you want me to do. And that's what Moses did. He lived by faith. You know, it was not easy. He didn't know the future. I think sometimes we forget that these Old Testament saints did not know the future. They knew the time they were living in, and they had the Word of God that had already been given to them. But they didn't know when things would play out. He did know that a Messiah was coming, and he believed that. And so he put his faith in God. He would be rejected and despised. We know the Pharaoh went after him viciously later. Once he, you know, took off, we know the Pharaoh went after him. I've often wondered about his friends. I've often wondered about how about the Pharaoh's daughters that raised him, if she was still alive, how she looked upon him. You see, he knew that he would be reproached. He knew the difficulties that would come, but he chose to live for God. I think every believer and every generation knows the reproach of serving Christ. What I mean by that is believers of every generation, even today, I believe we understand what it's like to be ridiculed at times, to be laughed at, to be mocked because we're a believer, to be ignored because we're a Christian, and sometimes even persecuted because of our faith in Christ. You see, those things are serious, and Moses understood that. But he also recognized the reward. I'm reminded of a student going for a degree. Some of you that have been in class, or maybe you are taking classes now. There's some days I imagine you'd like to have it all done and over with. And you might even be tempted to quit, but then you think, okay, when it's finished, it'll be worth it. When I graduate, when I get my degree, this will be worth it. You see, that's what Moses looked at. He saw the reward that was to come. I think of athletes who train. You know, you got professional athletes who train day in and day out. I mean, they'll take themselves physically to the limits, all so they can play a game. That's their reward. You see, they'll work for that moment when they have a chance to get out there and play and be victorious if possible. You see, to them, the sacrifice is worth the reward. To Moses, spiritually speaking, that's what occurred. I can just see this man in the palace over several years, every once in a while, just sitting down thinking and looking at his life and then thinking about the life of the Jewish people. And then at the same time, considering the promises of God and the future with God. And then as the years go by, he slowly concludes that, yes, it's worth it. It's worth leaving all this to follow God if that's what God would want me to do. By faith, you know what happened? Moses was able to get past his difficulties. You know, without faith, if we live without faith, then yes, the trials of this world will be difficult. Even for believers, you know, if your faith is hindered and you're struggling with your faith, there can be a trial in your life that'll just discourage you. But when we look to God and we trust Him by faith, then we can overcome many of the trials of the world. We can get through those struggles and those hardships. You know, for Moses, basically, he chose to live for the future. He chose to live for Jesus Christ and to look for the Messiah. Now, I think of Egypt. Egypt was wealthy. Egypt was wealthy, and Moses shared in that wealth. I don't think the wealth of today, we think of all, you know, the United States of America, and there are some people that are wealthy, but I don't think the wealth of today is any greater than the wealth of the Egyptians or the Assyrians or the Babylonians. It's just different wealth is what it is. But wealth in general is tempting because it appeals to the flesh. But we also must remember that it's materialistic. And according to the scriptures, it's temporary. I want to read one more passage this morning, 1 John chapter 2. Notice what the Bible tells us about the things of this world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now notice what it says in verse 17. "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You see, the things of the world are temporary. You know, when you go into eternity, you'll not be taking any of those things with you. You're going to be leaving them behind. You know, this morning, as believers, we need to, you know, yes, we can enjoy the things of the world, we can have those things, but let's be focusing on that which is eternal. Serving God, walking with God, living for God, pleasing God. You know, Moses understood this. He recognized this. And so instead of seeking and continuing to remain in the palace and really being out of God's will, he chose to separate, to refuse those things, and to follow after God. And some would say, well, what did Moses know of this reward? Well, I'm going to tell you what he did know. The Bible tells us that the covenant given to Abraham, Moses knew of that. The Jews were aware of that covenant. That covenant included three things. It included the promise of the land for God's people. It included the promise of a powerful and established government. Also, it included the promise of a Savior. You find that all the way back in Genesis 15, throughout that Abraham's life, the promise of a Savior was included in that covenant. You see, Moses knew that a Messiah was coming, and it refers to that in verse 25 or 26. It says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." You know, this morning, we're on the other side of Jesus Christ as far as His coming and laying down His life for sin. We're about 2,000 years, I guess you say, afterwards. Moses was looking for the coming of Christ, and he put his faith in the fact that Jesus Christ would come and would provide not only a sacrifice for sin, but also eternal life for all those that trusted in Him. And that's what Moses lived for. That's what he looked for. Now this morning, as believers, we know Christ has come. We know He's laid down His life so we could be saved. But we also know that He promised to return again. And that's what we look for. Today we're looking for His return. And we're hoping that it may happen in our lifetime so we see Him and that we're part of that. But we know Christ will return. The Bible has promised that. We have faith in God. You know, you think of this. Moses looked at both ends of the roads, I guess, so to speak. He was able to sit down and consider both ways. Able to look and see which way each road went. He looked and he saw the wealth and the comfort of Egypt on one side. Yes, that would be pleasing. I'm sure he enjoyed the life he had. But he also understood that it would eventually be gone. And there was no real value to it. Nothing there. You know, this morning, I do believe the reason why. You know, we read all the time of people that have wealth going off doing crazy things or just being foolish. I really believe that has to do with the fact that they have everything that this world says will provide happiness, and they're not happy. You know, when you have all the money and you have the ability to do what you want, whether it's money or power or prestige, and you don't have happiness, you're going to be discouraged. And I believe that's why so many people that are living these lives that you know, you may look and say, well, they got all the money, they got all this, how come they're living like that? Probably because there's no happiness there, there's no peace. And Moses understood that. And then he looks on the other side, and he sees this other road filled with trials and hardships and difficulties. But at the end of this, you know what he saw? He saw God. He saw eternal life. He saw a Messiah. He saw peace and comfort and everything else. And I believe once Moses made that examination, for him, the choice was obvious. He had to follow after God, even if it meant going through difficulties. Now, Moses did not know the future, but he believed God would take care of that. And by faith, now faith is complete trust in God, by faith he refused the world. By faith he rejected the pleasures of sin, and by faith he looked to the reward that the Lord had for him. You know, my last remark this morning that I'll give to you is, before Moses was used to lead the people out of Egypt. Before God chose him to lead the people out of Egypt, and before God allowed him to take the law and deliver it to the nation of Israel, Moses was given a choice. Way back in the palace, as a 40-year-old man, he was given a choice. Are you going to live for the world, or are you going to live for God? This morning, perhaps there is one here. At your point in life, that's where it's at. You're saved, you love God, you belong to God, but you've been living for things of the world, not necessarily in sin or gross sins, but you have been preoccupied with the world, serving the world, living in the world, and perhaps this morning that question is for you. Are you going to continue that direction, or are you going to live for God? Even if it means having a few hardships and difficulties and having to miss out on a few enjoyments that the world may have to offer. You see, that question may be for you this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've given to us. Please, I pray as we have this time of invitation, if you've worked on anyone's heart, I pray that you'll encourage them to get things settled with you, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a few minutes. We're going to have a time of prayer, a time of invitation. If God has worked in your heart here this morning, as the piano begins to play, I encourage you just to seek the Lord out in prayer. If you want to come down to these altars and pray, I encourage you to do so. Or if you want to pray right where you are, I encourage you to seek the Lord out. Now, this message was not necessarily a salvation message as far as focusing on salvation. But as I mentioned at the very beginning, faith begins at salvation. A relationship with God begins with faith in God, faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning, maybe the Spirit has worked in your heart, and you come to the understanding that you're not saved. You've never trusted in Christ as your Savior. If that's the case, I encourage you to get that taken care of. If you have any questions, you can come down this morning and someone can take the Bible and we can show you how you can know what salvation is and how you can know that you're saved. You know, for believers this morning, sometimes, at least for me, I know this is a never-ending battle sometimes, because there are so many things in this world that can distract us, so many things in this world that can hinder our faith, that we need to sometimes on a daily basis or weekly basis get with God and ask Him, Lord, is there anything hindering my faith? And if there is, then be willing to separate from it. If that's the case, I encourage you to make that decision. We're not going to continue our invitation any longer. We're going to close with a word of prayer. It's good to see each one of you out. I hope you have a good week. We have our Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study, 7 o'clock. We're going to continue our series. We're looking at the miracles of Christ, the miracles that He performed during His ministry. So if you're able